Mr. Hernandez, I know there has been a lot of concern about your treatment in prison and the time you spent a while ago in solitary confinement. Can you describe for me how you are being treated now, what the conditions are for you in prison?
Well, I'm a regular inmate in the U.S. penitentiary, and I would say that the worst part of my treatment had not to do with the prison, but with the government of the U.S. I would say that the worst part of my imprisonment is that I haven't been able to see my wife for the last 10 years because the U.S. government doesn't grant a visa to her to come to visit me. That's one of the things, and I would say that for the rest of the things, you know, it's a prison, and I am an inmate like every other, and it's not hard to, I mean, it's not easy to be an inmate, but I'm doing all right.
Are you saying then that you have had no family visits at all?
Well, I have received some family visits. My mother and a sister have been able to come, but in the case of my wife for the last 19 years, she hasn't been able to come to visit me because she has been constantly denied a visa to come. So I haven't been able to see her for the last 10 years.
You were convicted on a number of counts, including one of them was trying to obtain U.S. military secrets by trying to infiltrate a base, and for acting as an unregistered agent for a foreign government. Can you explain to us what you were doing in Florida in the first place?
Well, in the first place, I was gathering information on terrorist groups that used to operate in Florida with total impunity. There are people that got training camps there and paramilitary organizations, and they go to Cuba and do sabotage, bombs, and all kind of aggressions. And as I told you, they have had all kinds of impunity. So at a certain point, Cuba decided to send some people to gather information on those groups and send it back to Cuba to prevent those actions. And in 1998, Cuba passed to the FBI some information regarding those groups, hoping that the FBI would do something against them. And unfortunately, what they did was arresting the people that had gathered that information. As for the military part, I was charged with a conspiracy to commit espionage. And that was because there wasn't espionage at all. In our trial that lasted 7 months, there were three, four retired generals from the U.S. Army who testified that there was nothing related to espionage in this case. But since the trial was in Miami and we couldn't have a fair trial, we were found guilty. But I reiterate that it was conspiracy because the government say, oh, wait a minute, all right, they didn't commit espionage, but they would have tried to commit it sometime. So that's conspiracy to commit espionage. But not a single piece of secret information, nothing related to the national security of the U.S. was gathered or transmitted.
But you do acknowledge that you were working as an agent for a foreign government, and in one of your defense statements, you do say that you were working with false documents, false identity documents.
Yes, I do acknowledge that, yes.
But that's quite a serious thing to have been doing then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but there is something called necessity defense that says that if in order to prevent a wrongdoing, in order to prevent crime, you have to violate the law, you can understand that. In my case, yes, I have fake ID. I was working for a foreign government, but not to affect the U.S. interest, but to defend Cuban interests, to defend the Cuban people from terrorism.
And the crime you were trying to stop, what exactly were they, the crimes?
Could you rephrase that, please?
You say you were acting to try to stop crimes against Cuba. What kind of crimes? Give me an example.
Well, for example, in 1997, a bomb exploding a Cuban hotel and killed Fabio Di Selmo, an Italian tourist. And in 1976, as you know, a bomb exploded in the Cuban airplane and killed 73 people. And that's only two examples of terrorist acts committed against Cuba. And anybody who lives in Miami who see the TV, the local TV station or radio station, they know what Commandos F-4 is, and they know what Alpha 66 is, and they know what Brother to Rescue is.
And what are those? Can you explain to me what are those names?
Yes, they are used to be called paramilitary groups. I call it terrorist groups. They got training camps in the Everglades. Some of the groups I mentioned got training camps in the Everglades, and they dressed camouflage and got weapons, and they train for the day they're going to liberate Cuba. And they used to go to Cuban boats and fire at Cuban buildings, and they tried to organize and in turn sabotage and all kind of action. That is public record. You check the Miami newspapers, you can see that. You can see that they get in a boat and go to Cuba and do some shootings, and they go back and are received like heroes. And they, for example, in our trial, we are presenting some witnesses. We subpoenaed the Coast Guard and subpoenaed the FBI, and we presented the evidence of the impunity that these people have. We asked, for example, to a Coast Guard official. It is true that this day you intercepted a boat that was heading to Cuba with some weapons and explosives. Yes, it is true. It is true that you just seized the illegal weapons and freed the guys. Yes. Why? Well, because they said that they were fishing lobsters. Something like that happened in our trial, and it's not a single case. There is a long record of terrorist aggressions against my country. So the Cuban people have the right to defend themselves against terrorist actions. Hopefully the U.S. government and the U.S. authorities will do something, because they say they have a war against terrorists, but how come you're going to allow those terrorists to operate freely in Miami? Recently, just a month ago, the guy who masterminded a bomb in the Cuban airplane that killed 73 people, he was free. He was set free, and he's free now in Miami.
There is one very contentious charge on which you were convicted, and the reason why you are serving such a long sentence: the shooting down by Cuba of two civilian planes from the United States in 1996. Did you have any role connected to that?
No, absolutely not. But you have to understand what really happened. The person leading those planes is called Jose Basulto. He was a CIA operative in the 60s. He was infiltrated in Cuba to do sabotage. After that, in 1962, he went back to Cuba from Florida in a boat. He fired a cannon against Cuba hotel, went back to Miami, and was received like a hero, and has a long history of terrorism against Cuba. And at some point in his life, he said, all right, I'm going to be a humanitarian now. I want to get these small planes and fly inside Cuba with no permission at all and drop leaflets and propaganda. And he did it like 16 times. And Cuba sent to the U.S. 16 diplomatic notes, which were presented in our trial, complaining to the U.S. and saying, hey, these people are violating international laws, U.S. laws, Cuban laws. The Cuban mix used to take off and call those people out, and Cuba used to say, hey, don't do it anymore. You are putting in danger our own aviation, our population, everything.
That may have been wrong, and I'm sure there have been many diplomatic arguments about it, but what I'm interested in is what you did about it.
Well, nothing. I was in Miami, and the plane was shut down in Cuban waters, a long way away from me.
So you didn't pass any information that would have helped the Cuban government to shoot down the planes?
No, of course not. If you go to the records of those times, you will see that Jose Basurto announced way before the trip. He said, we are going there on February 24. Everybody knew that. We presented in our trial memorandum from the U.S. government, one agency, the Federal Aviation Agency, telling their people, hey, he's going to do that on February 24. We are concerned that something's going to happen because Q already said if they do it again, they're going to be shut down. So we better have all the ducks in a row. That's textually what the memo said. So everybody was expecting that something will happen. We even in our trial, Richard Nuccio, the former advisor to President Clinton, he was in the trial, and he said, yeah, that organization was out of control. There is a long dispute over the incident, and Cuban said that they shot the planes inside Cuban waters. According to the Cuban radars, the U.S. says that one plane was in Cuban waters, but the two that were shut down were heading there, but on international waters. And the government charged me for conspiracy, and they said that is because I knew that the plane would be shut down, and because I knew that the plane would be shut down over international waters, which has no sense at all. It's something crazy, but they need to blame somebody, and they shoot me.
You have an appeal coming up. What will be the grounds for your appeal?
Well, we have different issues in our appeal. The main issues which we already won, and unfortunately was reversed, is the venue issue. We argue that the trial wasn't fair in Miami. Our trial lasted almost 7 months, and there were more than 100 witnesses. And the jury deliberated a few hours, and they didn't ask a single question. They just found us guilty in every single count. And then the judge gave us the higher sentence possible in every count.
And you say that that is because of the influence of the Cuban exile community in Florida?
Yes, of course. During the trial, there were all kind of irregularities, to call it like that. People were filming the juries and following the juries. The press was following the juries to the cars, and there were riots or some kind of protest in front of the court, all kind of things. Also, the press was really rough.
So you think the jury was intimidated or even tampered with? Was it as serious as that?
I believe the jury was intimidated. Anybody who lives in Miami or who knows what is going on there would understand that nothing related to Cuba is normal in Miami. Right now, for example, a book has been taken out of the shelf in Miami, taken out of the schools just because on the cover there are some Cuban kids smiling and looking happy. And it's a book for kids named Let's Go to Cuba. And they just pull it out because of that, because there is a phrase in the book that said, oh, Cuban kids study and live like you, something like that. And just because of that. And everybody that knows the history of Miami knows that people have got killed because they want a better relation with Cuba. I mean, I can name you. I can tell you about the Replica magazine that was bombed like 7 times because they advocate for a better relation with Cuba. People in Miami have to live there to understand. Most American people not even have an idea of what is going on in Miami. It's like another country.
The Cuban leader Fidel Castro in the past has taken quite an interest in your case, and he's spoken on your behalf. Have you heard from him directly at all?
Well, I had the opportunity to talk to him by phone on his birthday about 2 years ago. It was something that I didn't expect. I just called my wife that day because it's also my girlfriend, Rene Gonzalez's birthday, and my wife, our families happen to be with him. So when I found out, I told my wife, please tell happy birthday to him from me. And then he said, oh, hold on 1 second. I want him to tell me. So I had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes, which was a great experience to me, of course.
And what did he say?
Well, he said that he's confident that justice will prevail because he has always been confident that when the American people find out about what has been done in our case, and when the American people find out the truth about our case, justice will prevail. Everybody are confident on that.